Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.
This is Dana Workman from Haunted Highway on Sci-Fi, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com. Boom.
This is Bill Murphy of Sci-Fi Channel's Fact or Fake Paranormal Files, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com.
Hey everybody, this is Rex Williams, the medic from Destination Truth, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia, on liveparanormal.com.
This is True TV's haunting evidence investigator, Patrick Burns.
And ghost huntress author, Marley Gibson.
And you're listening to Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli.
And Michael Perry.
And we're here. Hello, we're here at the Ghost Host with Sophia Temporelli and weekly at liveparanormal.com.
This is Stefan Brigati from Pacific Coast Paranormal, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com. She rocks.
This is Christopher Sanders with My Ghost Story on Biography. You are listening to The Ghost Host with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com.
Hi, this is Professor Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist, and you're listening to The Ghost Host with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com.
This is author Alexandra Holzer, and you're listening to Ghost Host Sophia Temporelli.
Hi, this is Jeff Belanger, host of 30 Odd Minutes, founder of GhostVillage.com, and author of lots of your favorite paranormal books, and you're listening to the Ghost Host Sophia on liveparanormal.com. Boo!
This is Nick Groff, executive producer of Ghost Adventures, the original documentary in Ghost Adventures, season 1 through 10, and executive producer of Ghost Stalkers, author of Chasing Spirits, the building of the Ghost Adventures crew, and founder of NickGroffTours.com. You are listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com. Tune in.
Hey, this is Zach Bagans from Ghost Adventures, and you are listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com.
This is April, the psychic housewife in New Jersey, featured on the Travel Channel's The Holes of Files. I just wanted to wish my very dear friend, Sophia Temporelli, a very happy 11-year anniversary right here on Live Paranormal. Congratulations, Sophia. I love you, and I'm so proud of you.
Fred, it's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com. And congratulations, Sophia, on celebrating over 11 years of broadcasting here on liveparanormal.com and now on ghosthunting.com. That's right, a new website, too, to add to the resume there. Thank you, Rob Sarek, the site founder of Live Paranormal and Ghost Hunting, for providing this format each and every week. And to all of our moderators, thank you guys throughout the years for patching us through at live events when we had no internet feed. Thank you guys for all your help throughout the years. Feel free to call into the show, 347-202-0316. That's 347-202-0316. As well, feel free to jump into the liveparanormal.com chat room and get yourself an avatar. You'll be part of the LP family. I'll be posting all of our guests' links into the chat room, too, as well, throughout the show. And everyone, I hope everybody's keeping safe out there. Today we welcome Weird New Jersey Magazine contributing writer, paranormal investigator, graveyard photographer, and urban explorer Jim Paris. Everyone visit weirdnj.com. And for Facebook, Jim Paris on Facebook and TikTok, Akladama389. That's Akladama389. He has some great footage that he's posted there throughout the years. Upcoming, we have just announced, too, Travel Channel and Discovery Plus's Kindred Spirits host investigator Adam Berry will be on the program promoting the new season. That's going to be next Saturday, the 14th. Also, renowned astrologer Jeff Harmon, he's going to be providing us with a live 2023 prediction. So that's going to be 2 weeks from today on the 21st. Also, to Travel Channel and Discovery Plus's Michigan Hell House host investigator Steve Shippey. He'll be on the program promoting that new Shock Doc. That's going to be on the 28th, 3 weeks from today. So you don't want to miss any of these upcoming broadcasts. So like the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com Facebook fan page, just to learn of the guests as we learn of them real time. We post them there. Also, check out the memberships here on Live Paranormal. They start as low as $3.99 a month. And Rob Sarek, the site founder, he's great at rewarding the audience here. So a lot of autographed books by some of your favorite paranormal authors, all done through the memberships. And also support the vendors here on Live Paranormal. And tonight on Live Paranormal, starting at 7 p.m. Eastern, Beyond the Screen and Ghost Light Radio, as well as monthly Mondays right here. Chip Coffee of A&E's Paranormal State, and on Kindred Spirits now, he's going to be here Monday nights monthly, as well as Ben Hansen, Amy Goodwin, David M. Roundtree, Stefan Brigati, Andy and Michelle Coppick, Ken Gearhart, and many more on this very network. Archive shows, if you miss anything, they're available as free MP4 iTunes downloads on the homepage of Live Paranormal. Let's bring on the host here. Let's see, Sophia, congratulations on 11 years of broadcasting here.
Thank you. I can't believe it's already been 11 years.
Yeah, you're doing a fantastic job. You've been helping a lot of people throughout the years. We had a big storm this past week. Were you real scared with all the rain and everything happening?
Oh, yeah, I was just devastated. No, I love the rain. I'm much happier than when it's sunny out. If I see a gloomy day, specifically when there's rain, it makes me 1,000 times happier than if it was sunny out.
You do. You get really excited and happy when there's a lot of gray and thunder and stuff.
Not the thunder, because, I don't know, it's disruptive to whatever I'm doing. But, yeah, they're jittery. But when we were watching Wednesday and Morticia said, it's turning out to be a beautiful day, and it was, like, storming and rainy, I was like, wow, same. Definitely same.
Yeah, you had a little kindred soul. Well, you got the TikToks, you got the Twitters, these Instagrams, and all these. Where can people find you these days?
I'm on Twitter at Sophia Tombrelli with one L, and Instagram just at Sophia Tombrelli.
Well, you're welcoming back a fantastic guest today. Tell us about your guest.
Today we welcome Weird New Jersey Magazine contributing writer, paranormal investigator, graveyard photographer, and explorer Jim Paris. Everyone visit weirdnewjersey.com, Facebook Jim Paris, TikTok AKLADAMA389, and let's welcome Jim into the show.
Hey. Oh, there we go. Jim, thanks for coming on again.
Yeah, thanks. I'm glad to be back. I'm happy and excited to share all my information I've gathered over all these years.
Oh,
well, thank you so much for coming back on. It was so great getting to talk to you last time. I mean, you do so much fascinating stuff in the paranormal, but I think, you know, everyone always has like a start with this stuff. Did you have experiences when you were younger that kind of led you into the field of the paranormal?
Yeah, I mean, I had a real strange experience when I was a kid. I was about 10 years old. I was visiting my cousins in South Carolina, a place called Isle of Pines, which is a section of Waterloo, South Carolina. And me and my cousin were playing behind my aunt's house, and there was a little stream behind my aunt's house. And we were just sitting there playing, and I looked upstream, and I could see something coming down the center of the stream. And I'm looking at it going, what is that? And I soon realized it was a plastic toy speedboat. It was red and white. And I had lived in New Jersey, and we had a community pool. And I saw kids playing with the exact same toy. And I thought, wow. And I wanted that toy. You know, I'm 10 years old. I want a toy just like that. And I see the same exact toy just coming straight down the center of this stream that I'm playing in right towards me. And I'm thinking, some kid upstream lost his toy. I'm going to go get that toy. And I start running towards the thing to get this toy because that, I wanted that toy. And as I got within a few feet of it, the toy just suddenly turned, went into the side of the bank, and disappeared. And I couldn't understand what that was. And, you know, I asked people over the years, what do you think that was? What did I experience? And they all came back the same way, as you encountered something evil that tried to get you. Something lured you away from your cousin with something you desired. It's straight up Stephen King It kind of a story. I got lured by a toy that I desired away from the safety of my cousin, and as soon as it turned into the bank and disappeared, my cousin was right behind me. So I just wondered, you know, did it turn because I was no longer alone? I was no longer a vulnerable kid all by himself. There were now two kids there, and whatever it was just gave up. But it's just a unique kind of a paranormal experience. And I couldn't find the bow. I looked hard for it. You know, as a kid, I really wanted that toy. And I couldn't understand where it went. You know, I looked in the side of the bank, and there's just nowhere for it. They've gone. So I don't know what that was. Whatever it was definitely, you know, it had the ability to go inside my head, find something I desired, make it look real in front of me, and lure me with it. And I'm going to get to another story later on that's similar to that. And I'm going to connect the dots later on to that. But I don't know what that was. That was straight up Stephen King It, you know, but I wasn't alone. The reason it turned was because my cousin chased after me, and I wasn't alone anymore. So there's just, like, no category for that, but that's what happened to me.
Yeah, I mean, that's incredible that that happened. And did you start researching the paranormal, you know, shortly after that experience, or did it take a while for you to start diving headfirst into investigating?
Yeah, I mean, I became interested, but I'm 10 years old at the time. You know, I don't have any money to buy books or anything. There wasn't an internet. There was nothing for me to, you know, you could go to a bookstore and maybe find a book on ghosts, but I was always interested in it. And I was wondering, you know, what happened? What was that? It was clear as a bell to me when I was a kid, you know. What did I experience? What would have happened if I actually got to the toy boat? What would I have seen? But I don't know.
Absolutely.
I don't know. It doesn't fall into any categories. You don't hear people telling similar stories like that. And I've actually written to, I tried to find a historian in that area and asked him, are there any other stories like mine? Are there stories of missing kids, kids found drowned in streams and stuff like that? And nobody will talk to me about it. Just dead silence. I don't get any response from anybody from there. Isle Pines, Waterloo, South Carolina. I don't know. There might be a whole lot of other stories of kids being lured in a similar way, but they're just not talking about it.
So, yeah, I mean, that's incredible to have happen, especially since, you know, no one will talk to you and answer some of the questions you have. I mean, I'm sure that also, you know, when people don't answer your questions, kind of helps make you, you know, want to write articles like you did for Weird New Jersey and just answer some questions that people may have and aren't getting answers to, you know, help people in that way just find answers themselves through you.
Yeah, let other people come forward and say, yeah, something like that happened to me too. They do have a story about some sort of creature that lures children in South Carolina. I can't think of the name of it, but it's not exactly what happened to me, but I didn't see any creature. All I saw was a toy boat. You know, but I didn't get to the boat either. You know, my cousin ran up behind me, and I was no longer alone. But who knows? I mean, South Carolina, like New Jersey, every town has a historian. You can go to any town in New Jersey and find a historian to tell you all about the place. But South Carolina, they don't really have that system set up that way. And they don't really have a good, you know, Waterloo, South Carolina, Isle Pines, you know. It's just, I couldn't find anybody.
Yeah, and that, it's always hard, too, when you have experiences as a child like that and you're just unable to get answers. Because it's like, you know something happened, but how do you, you know, try and not rationalize it, but figure out with the knowledge you have as an adult what actually happened as a child?
Yeah, you know, I was a kid, I was really into catching frogs and snakes and turtles, so I had a good eye for nature, you know. I could find stuff in, like, a stream. I could find, I liked bugs, I would catch bugs, you know. I knew how to look under rocks and find bugs and know how to find them. So I could tell the difference between that and a toy plastic boat coming towards me. You know, I had an eye for nature and tell the difference. That wasn't something other than a toy boat coming towards me.
So, I mean, with that experience as a child, how did you go from having that experience to writing articles for Weird New Jersey? I mean, it's just amazing, you know, that you wrote for that publication, too.
Yeah, I got a job. I was going to college, and a guy at my college said, we need a guy to work for us. And I said, what kind of job is it? He's like, it's a courier. And that was basically, I worked for law firms, and I would follow their paperwork all over the state courthouses. And I thought, that sounds like a fun job. You know, I'm going to see the whole state. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get to know the whole state. And I started doing that. And, of course, you know, I got an eye for, you know, weird things. And I kept telling my friends, boy, you see the places I'm seeing, these weird houses, these weird places all over the New Jersey. And somebody said, there's a magazine called Weird New Jersey. Why don't you start sending them pictures? And that's how it started, you know. I just, you know, I happened to be a guy who traveled the entire state for my job. And I happened to be seeing all these things. And there just happened to be a magazine that I could send what I'm seeing to them. And I started sending to them, and they loved everything. They were just like, send us more. And like, you drive into the whole state? That's awesome. You know, and they're like, you have an eye. You know what's weird. Because people would send them, like, you know, somebody put a weird decoration on their lawn. It wasn't that weird. They and they're like, you had the eye for it. You could tell that's strange. That's different. And it just developed from there. And I started, you know, being interested in graveyards because I've, you know, as a kid, there's a lot of graveyards near my house. There's big sections of them. And in high school, we used to sneak into them, and like there was a section of a graveyard where the road ended and straight in front of it was the graveyard. And in high school, me and my friends would hide right there and run out and like scare people inside the graveyard. It was like a fun thing, you know, to do to people. And so there was always, you know, graveyards around. So I said, hey, you know, I was already doing this stuff, you know, running around graveyards, scaring our friends and ourselves. Why don't I start seeing this more there? So I started, I learned about the art of gravestones, and I got into that. And there's a lot of it, you know. For instance, the Victorians, they didn't have any TV or books or radio or anything, but they understood symbolism. But if you go to an old Victorian graveyard, you see, like, different flowers and different symbols, and each statue looks a little different. They all understood those symbols. They all have different meanings, and the Victorians instantly knew what that flower, oh, I know what that means. That statue, I know what that statue is. But we've lost that information. They just look like statues and flowers. We don't get there's a meaning there. There's a purpose to why they put it there. And I started to get into that. And then, you know, I started getting into, like, abandoned buildings because there's lots of them. And I just started filming, you know. At first I would go through and just do still photos. Then I thought, well, it would be fun if people saw what I was experiencing with video. So I started filming. And then I started filming. I'd go back and look at it and rewatch it. And there were voices on it. The voices were saying stuff to me and, like, what is that? And it was, that was Ghost.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing just the things that you see throughout history, too. I mean, you also speaking about the Victorian times, I mean, you know, that's how Frankenstein was written by Mary Shelley, them telling ghost stories. And I feel like they were, you know, so open to kind of the spiritualism back then, too. And so it's interesting when you look at, you know, the way they did things back then and just the history of it and, you know, kind of the paranormal today.
Yeah, I mean, Mary Shelley and Edgar Allan Poe were contemporaries. That was about the 1830s, 1830s of writing, Gothic era of architecture and art and writing. And Poe and Mary Shelley and Percy Shelley, Lord Byron, they were all part of that, you know. And but at the time, you know, a little known fact that during his time, people didn't like Poe. His poetry became popular during the American, what's the American Revolution? And not the Revolution, the Civil War. And because so many of their family members were dying, you know, the sad, somber poems of Edgar Allan Poe became popular. And even more so in the Victorian times, because they started to get a taste for what he was writing during that. But during his lifetime, people didn't really like him that much.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing just, you know, I think how much their work has kind of stood up over time, the way people see it. I know, I believe Emily Dickinson wrote like a poem a day during the Civil War, and just how much that time period affected people and their views on, you know, literature and death.
Yeah, I mean, definitely, we definitely see a lot of that. You know, when you think about that and graveyards, we have a little bit of Civil War stuff. Well, no, New Jersey is a big a Revolutionary War, I think, because we have a lot of Washington, George Washington stuff here. But we have a lot of older buildings here and a lot of history. But my state's more Revolutionary War than it is Civil War. We are definitely big Revolutionary War here in New Jersey. We have everything, because Washington moved his headquarters every 3 days, so we have a lot of buildings around here. This was Washington's headquarters. That was Washington's headquarters. There's a lot of that here.
Definitely. And, you know, when writing for Weird New Jersey as well, what were some of, you know, your favorite places that you went to or, you know, took pictures of? What have been kind of your favorite places you've gone to?
Some of the more interesting graveyards have been Rose Hill, I think it's called. It's in Orange, New Jersey. Rosedale and Rose Hill, it's two old cemeteries that they joined together. It's a big, big cemetery, and there's a lot of really big, crazy graves inside there. And that's always been – I always like going through there. That's why I would go there seasonally, because they would plant them, you know. So in the spring, there were spring colors, and in the fall, there was definitely fall colors all around them. A lot of famous graves in there, like the Innes brothers, George Innes and his son, George Innes II, which were big landscape painters. They're buried in there. And I'm trying to think of Cedar Hill, which I think is up in Bergen, a massive, just every graveyard is like, every gravestone is just crazy, ornate. I sent you one of the pictures of a hooded thing. I found that in, I think, Cedar Hill up in Bergen County. It's a big, big, crazy graveyard. And I'm trying to think of the other one is Mount Rose, which is in Newark. Now, that's a graveyard straight out of a horror movie. That, you know, that is a very spooky place. It's really, if anybody's in New Jersey and wants to see something real spooky, Mount Rose in Newark, that is definitely an old, strange place.
Yeah, I mean, you've gone to amazing graveyards. You've taken some amazing photos too. What has been the creepiest thing you've seen in a graveyard?
Yeah, I just sent you the picture, and that's the crying grave.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what to it's in Westfield, New Jersey. And It's poor. The family is called Ham, H-A-M, and they were a very wealthy family from that area, and they have to get this bizarre grave. That crying grave is about 30 feet in the air. It's a statue probably as big as I am, and I just took a bunch of photos. I was in there. I thought, oh, that's a neat photo. I took a photo of it, went home, and I looked at its eyes, and it's got tear stains down its eyes.
Yeah, like, stains.
Yeah, what is that? That is, I can't explain it. And it says on the side of the grave, when this angel sounds its trumpets, the dead will rise. What's that mean? And it's just a really just strange grave. And all we know is that it was from a very wealthy family, and I don't know why it looks like that or anything else. But that particular cemetery was in Westfield, New Jersey, and Whitney Houston is buried in that same cemetery. And so was a guy named John List. That was a big New Jersey story for a long time. John List, in the 1970s, he had murdered his entire family. And he thought they were all going to go to hell because they were becoming hippies or something. And so he killed his entire family, and it was like 6 or 7 people. And then he just disappeared. And the show, America's Most Wanted, caught him. They profiled his story, and they found him living in Virginia under a different name. And he actually got caught because of America's Most Wanted. And those people, his family are buried in that cemetery. But it's a really cool cemetery, this Westfield Cemetery. It's got some really strange graveyards in it, gravestones in it. It's really interesting.
Yeah, I mean, that's a crazy story. I mean, especially with America's Most Wanted gets involved, too. Yeah, I mean, that's quite a few, you know, notable stories in that cemetery. And such an interesting, you know, gravestone, too. So it's amazing the things you find, you know, in places like that. Like, you know, the gravestone, I'm sure you weren't expecting that necessarily. And it's just weird, you know, the things you can find when you look around.
Yeah, I mean, my advice, if you go looking for interesting graveyards, they kind of put the strange characters along the fence of the graveyard or way in the back out of people's way, you know, because there's something sketchy about these people, or maybe they were just really poor. But even though they were really poor, sometimes there are handmade gravestones, and they can be really interesting. So if you go to the graveyard, you know, and you're looking for interesting gravestones, try way in the back or along the fence, kind of like the not prime spot. There's a lot of interesting things in there. That's where I would always find a lot of really interesting graves.
Wow.
Definitely. And I know we have to take a quick commercial break, but we'll be right back with more questions.
The Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com. Our guest today, Weird New Jersey Magazine contributing writer, paranormal investigator, graveyard photographer, and urban explorer, Jim Paris. Everyone visit Jim Paris on Facebook. Also on TikTok, it's Akladama389. And he's got some great footage captures there, as well as great locations that he explores too as well. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Dustin Perry, the paranormal rock star, and you're listening to The Ghost Host with the most, Sophia Temporelli, only on LiveParanormal.com.
Hey, this is Rick Hayes, the psychic medium, life consultant, author, and lecturer, and you're listening to The Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com. Believe.
Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on LiveParanormal.com and History.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.
Hey, this is Zach Bagans from Ghost Adventures, and you are listening to the ghost host, Sophia Temporilli, on LiveParanormal.com.
Not only am I Dave Schrader, but I'm Dave Schrader of Travel Channel's The Holzer Files, and you're listening to Ghost Host Sophia Temporilli on LiveParanormal.com. I feel left out. I wanted to throw myself into your mix of voiceovers now.
I love it, you know. It's almost like we didn't leave break.
Oh, poor Dave, left out of the mix there. Yeah, Jim and Sophia, bringing you both back. Okay, we have you both in the studio.
Okay, I'm good.
Hey, Jim, thank you again so much for coming on today.
Yeah, it's great to be here. And, you know, I got so much information. I'm happy to get it out there.
Absolutely. And I know also you sent some amazing photos of voodoo graves, if you want to talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I mean, in doing my research, you know, I always thought like voodoo was New Orleans, and that's where it only was. But there was a scholar, a professor here in New Jersey. She has since passed away. Her name was Karen McCarthy Brown. And she did this years and years of study about voodoo in New Jersey and New York State. And she found out voodoo was everywhere. Voodoo existed in every state. It wasn't exclusive to New Orleans. And I was like, wow. And I wonder if there's a New Jersey voodoo queen. And there probably is. But it's been really difficult to find because, you know, this information is kept within a family. Like, we knew our great-grandmother, she was practicing voodoo, but we kind of keep it quiet. So they don't let that information out, so there it stays.
Mm-hmm.
So I would love to hear about this information. I think that New Jersey has their own voodoo queen and kings and so forth. But anyway, I was graveyard exploring, and that was in Camden, New Jersey. And Camden has been declared the worst city in America many years in a row. And this cemetery is abandoned. They don't take care of it. No one tends to the graves. No one mows the lawn. And I just found this weird little, it's a handmade grave. Somebody made this specifically for this person. And when it was made, it was probably beautiful. It's hand-painted, really painted well. And if you look closely, you can see little angels and decorations on it. It was probably a really pretty gravestone when it was original. But over the years, it's become just faded. But you can make out the name on the gravestone, sort of. It says Beatrice LeBeau. And that sounds like a New Orleans name. And I showed it to Karen McCarthy Brown, and she was instantly, that's a voodoo grave. That person practiced voodoo. Like, really? That's all. I mean, because it's an abandoned cemetery, you have to get the Camden County historical people to look into the information, and they want to be paid for it. So until I can get some money to look deeper into it, I don't know. I mean, it looks like maybe she was a New Orleans transplant and from someone from New Orleans who probably moved to New Jersey and was living in New Jersey. And she probably was practicing voodoo. That's all I know. You know, it's just, you know, I've hit a wall with it. You know, hopefully there'll be cemetery records. You know, this grave is in care of, there's family members to contact if there's a problem, you know. But she died in the 1960s, so that's over 50 years ago. Who knows if you can find these people. But it's definitely, you know, voodoo was here. But in New Orleans, you know, they have Marie Laveau. And the reason why we know about her is they kept that tradition going. You know, they wrote it down. They wrote about her. They talked about her. The next generation kept that, you know, tradition going, and it's still going today. Whereas voodoo exists in probably every single state. But, you know, in those states, they just didn't keep it going the way they did in New Orleans. It's well documented in New Orleans. They just never documented it in other states. Like I said, you know, there probably are practitioners in families, and they only the family is aware of it, and they just don't talk about it. So the information just ends. But I think voodoo was in every state. In New Jersey, we have something called the Jackson Whites. They're also called the Ramapo Mountain people. They live up in the northern New York border of New Jersey. And a guy wrote a book in the 1970s talking about them. I mean, they've always been sort of this mysterious people. They were a mixed race, African American and German Dutch mixed race people. And among them, they had witches. And probably the coolest witch name I've ever heard. One of them was called Black Mag. And she is just, you know, that's such an awesome name. And another was called Handsome Abby, and that's a cool name, too. Those are the two witch names that you can find in New Jersey. But they were practitioners of what I think was probably voodoo. But they probably both died in the 50s or the 60s, and they're probably pretty old by then, probably in their 80s. And this book that came out in the 1970s, just the one grandson of the said, oh, I remember her, you know. She was a kind old lady, and she was talking about Black Mag. But the Jackson Whites will not talk about these people. They will not. They say this never happened. These people never existed. It's not real. They just won't talk about it. And I've tried talking to a lot of them, and they just will not talk about it. And so, you know, I think it's important, sociology and anthropology, you know, I think it's important in that aspect to understand what the practice, was it a pagan witchcraft or was it a voodoo? I think based on what is in the book, it sounds closer to voodoo, like a mountain voodoo type of thing. But I know Black Mag, her name was probably Margaret. Her last name was probably DeGroat. And if I did genealogy, you know, I could probably find her. And is that Black Mag? I don't know. But it said her ghost still haunts those areas. You know, if you run into her ghost, you're going to have problems.
Well, as much as I like investigating, I don't think I want to run into her ghost if I'm going to have problems.
Yeah, Black Mag sounds pretty terrifying, to run into Black Mag.
Definitely. I mean, it's incredible just the stories you find out about. And I know another one you wanted to talk about was actually Aleister Crowley's ashes.
Yeah, this is a good story because I was like, oh, man, I got to find this house. And it was a Carl Germer. He was Aleister Crowley's probably best friend and good friend. He was entrusted with Aleister Crowley's ashes. And he lived in Hampton, New Jersey. And I was actually able to find the house that he lived in. And the story is that he buried the ashes in the garden behind a tree. But that house that he lived in, he was only a renter. He didn't own the house. He was just renting it. So I don't think it's a real story. I think it's just a story he told people to get them off his back. But why would you bury something permanently in a place you're only renting?
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, the house has been renovated. You know, property values have gone through the roof in New Jersey. And someone took this old little farmhouse and they added multiple additions to it. So the house is now like three times bigger than what it was when Carl Germer lived in it. And the trees in the yard that he planted and buried the ashes on, they're all gone. That whole thing has been landscaped extensively. So if there was an urn there, you know, you're not going to find it. The whole landscaping has changed dramatically. When you go there, you don't even recognize the place, but you only can tell because that's the right address, you know. It doesn't even look the way it looked when Carl Germer lived there. So the house has been fully renovated. It's three times the size it used to be. The grounds, all those trees have been removed. It's all completely different now. So that's why people, we're not shy about telling people where it is because you're not going to find anything. We don't think there's anything there. I think that story of that, mm-hmm. buried the ashes in the yard, is just a story he told to keep the curious away. You know, because there's another story, because he left New Jersey and he moved to West Point, California. And there's a story that he was home invaded by a cultist and they took Aleister Crowley's urn. And that's another story. So which story is the truth? I don't know. My guess, you know, they could both be fake stories, you know, that he just told people to get him off his back. And I would say, you know, because I've looked for urns and stuff like this, and I've tried to find them, and I've actually ended up finding these people buried in the tombs with other people. And I have a feeling that if Carl Germer kept those ashes, they may be buried with Carl Germer somewhere in West Point, California. That would be my guess. But there's also his will. He willed everything back to the Aleister Crowley society, the cult that was still active, which is Ordo Templi Orientis. That was the occult society that Aleister Crowley had founded, and they were still around. And he willed everything Aleister Crowley to them. So I have a feeling maybe they have the ashes. And this Ordo Templi Orientis, they are a massively big group in America. They have a website, and they have a map of America, and they list their locations, you know, where you can go worship and practice whatever rituals they have. And they have over 100 locations in the United States. And it's wow. And when you look at them, like, that's the Aleister Crowley cult, and they're that big. So mm-hmm. I would put my guess is that Ordo Templi Orientis have Aleister Crowley's ashes. That would be my guess.
Well, I mean, that's amazing that, I mean, you've been able to research all of that. I mean, it's just incredible that the information you're able to find out and research. All the amazing stories you've learned over the years, what has been your favorite just topic to have researched?
I like stories when people just disappear. I like there's nothing going on in their life, nothing strange in life, and they just vanish. Mm-hmm. But that would be one thing. I'm trying to think what story I keep looking at that I still like. Some of the stories are just ongoing. Right now, one of my favorite places is the Trenton Psychiatric. It's always been it's a Victorian mental hospital, but it's not just a hospital. It's a whole complex of buildings, and most of the old Victorian buildings are abandoned, and they're all haunted, but no ghost hunter show has ever gone near them. And it's, mm-hmm. you know, but they have allowed photographers, like Urban Explorer photographers, in. And I tried to get in a few years ago, and the director didn't like me and said no. I've been thinking about trying again. You know, it seems I can get in, but that's an ongoing, that's a place that all of us, I call it Trenton Psych, the place where nightmares are born, because it is such a dark, creepy place. And it's, they have modern buildings on the site, and they have housing for patients. Some patients walk freely among the grounds of Trenton Psychiatric. So it's kind of like, what was that, Leonardo DiCaprio movie where he was in the mental
Shutter
hospital?
Shutter Island?
Shutter Island. It's just like Shutter Island. When you walk around the ground there, there are mental patients walking around freely there. And there's also, they have something called Anne Klein, which is the prison for the criminally insane. And that is straight out of Silence of the Lambs. I've actually doing DoorDash on site, and I delivered food to there. And as soon as you walk inside the door, you can mm-hmm. actually walk inside the lobby. just as a person, they don't stop you. And literally, as soon as you get in there, it is silence of the lambs in there. And it has that, and it has old abandoned Victorian mental asylum buildings. As an old Victorian, like the president of the asylum's house is still boarded up and empty. It's just one place that, you know, you always want to get into, and they've sparsely let people in occasionally over the years. But I haven't been lucky enough to get in yet. But that's just like an entire book of stories, that one spot. You know, it's just massive. And Transpsychic, I don't know why any ghost hunters haven't tried to get in there and do a ghost show there, because it is a lot of stuff to look at there. That's definitely, if I were to pick a place that I like, I would say Trenton Psych, because it's just, I haven't been able to get in there. I know that there's a lot there. I've been doing this for a long time. I can tell as soon as they let me in there, it's just going to be like a waterfall of material. And who knows what I'll capture in there. I know I'm going to get ghost stuff in there. No doubt about that. But it just has literally like hundreds of stories and hundreds of interesting things. It's just about 15 minutes from my house. Just let me in, can you? You know, it's so much there.
Yeah. Well, so hopefully they'll let you in soon.
Yeah, I've been thinking about, I hope, well, the one director, and this was probably about 10 years ago, he did not like me at all. He's just like, you're not a good person. I'm like, what do you mean? I just want to look around. You're going to make fun of mental health people. I'm like, no, I'm not. I just want to go inside the buildings. He was really a difficult person. But the previous one before her was letting people in. But hopefully she's gone. I've been thinking about, you know, it's how you present yourself, how you write to them, how you explain, you know, you got to make them feel comfortable. You know, I'm not going to view this in any negative way. So it's all about the approach. Maybe they can let me in. I guarantee if I get in and I find stuff and people see what I found, everyone's going to want to go there. But it is just a massive place, lots of big empty buildings, lots of spooky stuff. They have the Hannibal Lecter prison on site. You know, and they have patients wandering around. It's just like everything you could think of.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like an amazing location. And, you know, speaking of locations you've gone to, can you tell everyone a little bit about your TikTok channel and what they can expect from some of your videos?
Yeah, those are some of my just, you know, urban exploring videos where I've gone and I've had experiences, you know. You know, I've just found, you know, buildings, and a lot of these buildings, you know, Weird New Jersey hasn't even talked about yet. And you know, I just put in some of my best evidence, and not all of it's ghosts. Some of it's just like this weird shrine that's out in the middle of the woods. It's in Lawrenceville, New Jersey, but it doesn't matter that I can tell you. It's near something called the Hunt House, which is on Blackwell Road. I could tell you all that information, but you're not going to find it unless I take you by the hand and show you where it is. You will not find it because it's so deep in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
It's the shrine is behind the Hunt House on Blackwell Road in Lawrenceville, New Jersey. It's next to the pond, but it's a trail that begins next to the pond, but you won't find it unless I take you there. So I can talk about it, but you're not going to find it. Somebody has to show you how to find that place. It's so deep in the woods. And they don't understand who made that, because whoever made that put a lot of effort into it. And somebody carted like truckloads of wood and stone and everything back there. And why did they make it? We don't know. That's a total mystery. And that's just one thing. And the Gravity Road. I think every town, every state has a Gravity Road. It's just an optical illusion. It looks like you're going uphill when you're actually going downhill in it. We have those, and we have like this little elf house. I was out I found out there was a rare bird, that's in Pennsylvania. I can't think of the name of where it was in Pennsylvania. And there was a rare bird up there, and I'm into birding. And there's a whole group of us sitting there waiting to see this rare bird. And I see this little house across the field. I'm like, what's that? And like, oh, we call that the elk house. And, you know, after the bird showed up, everyone was happy and saw it, and they all left. And I walked out to the elk house to see what it was. I don't know what that is. It's just there. I don't know who made it or why it's there or what it is, but I just found it. But, yeah, and the one interesting place is the Scammell Mansion. Now that was abandoned. That they were the Scammell were the porcelain makers. They made all the porcelain for the White House. And they were a wealthy family at one time, and their mansion became abandoned. And it was abandoned for a long time. And you could see in that video, a door shuts right in my face. You know, right in front of me, the door just goes still and slams shut right in front of me. And there's a lot of ghost voices in there, and it's definitely a spooky place. But the funny thing about that, it's no longer abandoned. It's been fully renovated. People now live in it. So I wonder if they're having any experiences.
Mm-hmm.
But what was that? There's the mansion in Burlington City. Big, big, crazy mansion. I can't think of the name of it right now, but that's on my video. I went there multiple times. I went there a lot. I even brought my mother there, which was funny. And she liked it so much, I couldn't get her out of it. Mom, we got to go. You know, this is an abandoned. She didn't want to leave. She loved it so much. And McNeil Mansion, that's what it's called, the McNeil Mansion.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's still standing. There was talk about tearing it down, and I'm not sure if it's still there. But there's the White Hill Mansion, and that's in Fieldsboro, next to Bordentown, New Jersey. And they give tours. They have a website. You can request tours, and they'll take you around the mansion, and that's a very haunted mansion. That's when anyone can go visit and do their own little ghost tour up, because they're actually really cool about that. If you want to go do a ghost hunt at the White Hill Mansion, just contact them on Facebook. They charge you a fee, but they'll let you do it, and you're going to get ghost footage there. You know, that's a place anyone can go see. You know, I would recommend, you know, you want to get ghost footage, go there. You'll get it.
Well, those are some awesome locations. I know we're coming towards the end of the show, though, so do you have any upcoming investigations, events, websites, or TikToks that you would like to mention?
No, right now I'm just trying. My goal is to get I have some houses that I've been eyeing. I could tell they're vacant, and I've just been too busy to stop and go in them. The weather here has been kind of terrible. Like I said, my goal right now is try and get back into Trenton Psychiatric. And see if I can finally be the first person to actually get some ghost footage inside Trenton Psychiatric. Because I think that's kind of like pulling the cork out of the dam when I do that. Once I do that, it's just going to pour out. You know, I'm going to find so much there. And so that's my goal, to get the permission to get inside Trenton Psychiatric.
For sure. Well, I can't wait to see when you finally do get in there and hear about all of the amazing places you're going to go to next. I want to thank you so much, Jim, again, for coming on today. It's always great getting to hear your stories and talk with you.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, there's always more material. I got lots of stuff to talk about. But maybe sometime in the future we'll get to it. And they know.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there's definitely more stuff out there. I hope that maybe somebody in Waterloo, South Carolina will hear this and say, yeah, I had that experience. I know what that thing is and can give me some information about what that was. You know, that would be neat.
For sure.
Someone else had that same experience, something that lures children, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That would
be. Yeah, I mean, I hope you are able to get more answers to that experience, you know, in the near future. It'd be great if it was through the show. But again, you're always welcome back on in the future. You know, we love hearing your stories, and I know the audience does as well. So I want to thank you so much for coming on today.
All right. Thanks,
thanks Jim.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Thanks, Jim. We'll talk to you soon. Well, fantastic show today, Sophia.
Absolutely. Jim is such a great guest. I want to thank you all for listening. The show definitely not be possible without all of you, and I will talk to you guys again next week. Bye.
Yeah, and the White Hill House that Jim's mentioning, too, 1723, the mansion was built. Yeah, the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com. As today, we had Weird New Jersey magazine contributing writer, paranormal investigator Jim Paris. And everybody visit Jim Paris on Facebook, also on TikTok, Aquadama389. And that video is there where you see the door close on Jim right in front of them in the camera. It's pretty good. Upcoming, we have Travel Channel, Discovery Plus, Kindred Spirits host investigator Adam Berry promoting the new season. That will be next Saturday, the 14th. Renowned astrologer Jeff Harmon provides live 2023 predictions for us. That will be 2 weeks from today on the 21st. Also, Travel Channel, Discovery Plus's Michigan Hell House, it's going to be a shock doc coming up. And the host investigator Steve Shippey will be on the program 3 weeks from today on the 28th. You don't want to miss any of these upcoming broadcasts, as we have some of those guests securing their spots right now. So like the ghost host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com and ghosthunting.com to learn about those guests as we learn of them real time. Great show, everybody. We'll see you next week with Adam Berry.
Hi, this is Debbie at Xeon Ghost Adventures. You're listening to The Ghost Host with your host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com.
God bless you all.
Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com. The only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interactive Media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.